right. You're making love, I'm starting the schoolyard fight.
In the immortal words of Vince Lombardi, what the hell's going on out here? You know what that music means? It means the guy who was the cousin sub yesterday, who then later yesterday spent time with Brian Bulaga on the Homer Hour, the best 60 minutes of your day, allegedly, is now on our show again. Welcome, Steve the Homer True.
Present.
What? Why are you present? What are you doing here?
I'm even at Ted's, but I don't care because people need to know about pizza in New York, and apparently I need to be the one to tell everybody. The place you went to, Grimaldi's, under the Brooklyn Bridge, is, as I was told many years ago, the most famous pizza place in all of New York if you're going to pick one. Now, others may disagree. That's what we were told. My wife and I went there. We were very disappointed, to tell you the truth. I actually think I have a T-shirt. And there have been many that may have been. It could be. I don't care what it is. But it was, and I would guess, unless someone tell me otherwise, I would still think that that would be the number one pizza place that you would go historically, famous for its location, and it's supposed to be pretty good pizza, and maybe it is. It certainly wasn't that night to me. I've been to other places suggested in New York. Familia's is a chain, and there's one where we used to stay at Marquette, and I go there because they have a picture of Jim McElvain in the Familia's. It's on 8th Street and about 46th. Also, now, the great thing about New York pizza is they now have the cheapest pizza in the world, two slices and a soda, I think $5. Yes.
It's perfect for you.
It's the worst pizza in the world. There's just nothing on it. It's just bread, and there's almost no sauce. But the prices are great. There's a place right near where we stay at Marquette's, and when I get off the bus, people go, Homer, how long before you get over to your pizza place? Give me an hour or two. I've purchased it there at 11 a.m. or when it first opens, 2 in the morning. So, but in defense of your decision, you were clearly told by people, and you did not go to a chain. You went to one of the historic pizza places in the New York area because of its location and, I would assume, history. So, I can't speak to Evan. I don't know what he knows and doesn't know about New York pizza. It's hard for me to believe that he doesn't know the historic nature of where you went. But I'm sure he knows way more about New York pizza than I do. But
they also just happen to have a location in Brookfield.
Well, they do now. I am
on locations all the time. I don't care. I don't care if they have 8,000 locations. Doesn't matter. That's the one. The rest of them may be part of a chain. That's the historic one.
So
it's like they could build 100 Yankee stadiums. There's only one Yankee stadium.
So Patsy Grimaldi, they have their own Wikipedia page, which has their entire history. Sure. A picture of the one that I attended on Front Street. Started.
Isn't it under the Brooklyn Bridge?
Yes. Like, yes. Yeah. Brooklyn Bridge is in the background.
Is,
yes.
The location is unbelievable. You walk to it and go, we can't be going the right place.
He was the founder of Grimaldi's in 1990. And when we went there in 2009, they had expanded a few locations, apparently, one in Hoboken and some in a few other places. So I guess they were becoming a chain. They were not in Brookfield until like 2019 or 2020. So
how long has the place been under the Brooklyn Bridge?
They opened in 1990.
Really? I thought it was much older than that. Mm. Wow.
No. But that's where the location is. And I appreciate you springing to my defense. That was nice of you.
I'll have to go look on TripAdvisor, the place I go to see where they say the most famous pizza location in New York is. And we were there clearly after 1990, but I assumed it had been there since like 1842 or something.
Yeah, but no, anyway, not that long. But quick question before you leave us. You spend 2 days a week with this guy, this Brian Bulaga fella, and you call him the doctor of football. You have a high opinion of him, as do I.
I do.
What would you say is something that we need to cover on our show that you like to get into with him when you have him on your show? Because I only get the bits and pieces of you turning the show over to me when he and I are both on. What do you love to talk with Brian Bulaga about?
But I wouldn't do the same because I'm not you. If I were you, I'd think the addressing certain players and players you liked and who were good teammates and all the different things. I mean, your knowledge of all the players in Green Bay for so many years trumps even him. But, you know, the discussion about how much people like football and now pros being paid, we were trying to figure out what to call them. I think that discussion is the most important discussion in the NFL right now because it's never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
Teams, players, coaches, GMs are dealing with something they've never dealt with before, and that's always hard, and they're screwing it up, or they don't know what to do, or they're making it suck. You know, as Brian Bulaga said yesterday, there are guys coming into the pros taking a pay cut.
Nailed it. Mm-hmm. He did. Yeah.
Yep.
Homer, thanks for calling in to defend my honor. We appreciate you. Bye. Back to Ted's for his breakfast. That is Steve the Homer True. All right, I do want to get into that. I also want to get into what the rookie camp looked like and get your insights. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I did have Jesse play a clip from the Buccaneers general manager talking about weeding out players that if you haven't heard, I want to get your reaction to that as well. That's all coming up after Jesse tells us about Coors Light and how much both he and Tausch love the Blue Mountains.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Yep, I'm Mark Tauscher, and I'm out golfing today in Vegas, and you know I'm popping open an ice-cold Coors Light, and whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light, brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains hold them out. Mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans turn blue when chilled to perfection, which besides the refreshing taste is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light, especially out on the golf course when I'm golfing with all my pals because I'm Mark Tauscher. Refreshingly cold and only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
We will get to the Packers rookie camp and players who take pay cuts to play in the NFL. That's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Get back on the clock since we've had Homer's surprise visit, which was great, and thank you for defending my honor. Can't wait to go to Grimaldi's in Brookfield, though. Also, because of Evan Cohen, I just want to touch on this briefly because, once again, in the YouTube comments, and we can get the audio of his son after I mentioned this to him last week. So, Baron Sorrell is the Packers' fourth-round pick. He's a defensive tackle. Great personality, great story, great kid. Like, he was my favorite story of draft weekend, right? He's in Green Bay. His family is there with him. He gets emotional. It's awesome. So we get to talk to him again in person at the start on Friday of the rookie camp. And we get to the end of the interview, session, and I don't want to take up legitimate questions with a silly question, but since things have kind of petered out, I said, Barron, I'm sorry, I got to ask. We've had a Barry Sorrell in our YouTube comments. Is that someone posing as your dad? Or he's like, no, that's my pops. And then he looks right into the camera and says, Dad, stop, please. Just stop. Which was hilarious. And now Barry's back in the YouTube comments. So we don't stop. We love
like
having
for
you
our
in the
YouTube show?
Comments of our show. Yes.
The nice.
Second time this has happened. So, Barry, you are welcome anytime. We'd love to have you on as a guest. So thanks for swinging by the YouTube comments. My quick question before we get into the actual rookie camp and my, I don't want to say beef with it, but what I thought was interesting about Matt LaFleur's evolution. Your parents very supportive of your radio work. And when you first started, your mom was listening every day. She was posting it on Facebook. I am curious, now that this has become kind of part of your second act post-NFL, are they still as loyal to your appearances, or has it gotten a little bit ho-hum, and I won't be seeing your parents in the YouTube comments?
No, I'm fairly certain that they're avid listeners. I'm pretty certain that they listen to everything. I'm fairly certain, you know, I'm fairly certain they know about that I'm doing this today. I think they're, well, it's, my dad's working, so he probably won't be listening, but it depends if my mom's substituting or not today. If she's working, that depends if she can tune in. But my stuff, you know, with Homer and all that, you know, in the evening, they listen to that all the time, but they normally go back, like for our stuff today, they'll go back to the, you know, on the app and re-listen
nice.
To all that. So that, yeah, so that's what they'll do. So yeah, they still listen to everything. But now Abby, on the other hand, she always used to listen to everything, and now she is like, all right, like I'm good. I've heard you talk. I've heard you talk too many times. Like, I'm good. Like, I got you. So she's
all
moved
right.
on.
Well, Kathy and Joe, if you're listening, you are always welcome, just like Barry Sorrell on our program, and we love to have you. All right, we will. I do want to get Brian's thoughts, and Abby's going to miss out on this because I think it's going to be very good insight because the rookie camp has changed, and I want to know if Brian thinks that's for the better or for the worse or if it's really not that big of a deal. Either way, I'll ask him that coming up next after I remind you, as I always do, and I got to see Steven and I got to see David at the Trunder Trio during our extravaganza for the NFL draft. You know, the Grubers are good friends of ours. We love them, but I hope I never have to call them for anything in terms of their actual legal expertise because I don't want to be seriously injured. But if that happens, they don't want it to happen to you either. But if it does, they want you to make the call. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call, that's all. Go to the website, gruber-law.com, to find out more. More with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
I see the light go past my shoulder on one less day from dying young, and I'm not afraid.
Soft. I get it. I own that. I believe in work smarter, not harder. I believe in playing it safe, bubble wrapping guys, all that stuff. But even I, Brian Bulaga, think that maybe our guy Matt LaFleur went a bridge too far with his approach to rookie camp. So if you remember, your old ball coach, Mike McCarthy, used to call this rookie orientation camp because it was about figuring out where the cafeteria was and how to get to meetings and who Flea was and who the equipment guys were that were going to take care of your shoes and, you know, how we meet and what our tempo is and all the stuff that you don't know when you're a rookie. And then there is some football mixed in as well, right? And there was actual 11-on-11, a little bit of one-on-one stuff. Like, it looked like a real off-season practice at the rookie camps that I attended, right? Now, there were a bunch of tryout guys, like Lucas Patrick, who earned himself an invitation and a roster spot by performing well as a tryout guy. There were cool stories that came out of it. Not so on Saturday, because it was purely individual work. That's it. And Matt LaFleur said that what he had done in the past, he felt like put guys in a bad spot where they've been traveling all around, going on top 30 visits, trying to train to speed up their 40-yard dash time, not doing real football training, and that they weren't in the tip-top shape, but he didn't want something happening. He had had lots of guys puking into garbage cans, he said. He got after Colin Oliver a little bit for running too fast when they were doing some conditioning work because he's coming off a hamstring. He didn't want him re-injuring his hamstring. And look, again, I am in favor of most of these things because you're not winning the Super Bowl on May 3rd. You're not, right? So I get it. That said, Brian, like the Canadian quarterback, Taylor Elgsma, whose name I still haven't learned how to pronounce because they haven't signed him yet because he's going to the Buffalo Bills rookie camp this weekend. Maybe he'll be back. Maybe he'll be in the CFL. He never threw a pass to Matthew Golden or Savion Williams. He threw them in nets. He threw them to Sean Mannion, the quarterback's coach. He threw them to one of the equipment dudes. But it was just him being coached by Sean Mannion and Connor Lewis and Luke Getsy and even Matt LaFleur for a period. The wide receivers, they were working on their releases a little bit, and they were being coached up by Ryan Mahaffey and Jason Vrabel. But, like, Jason Vrabel was throwing them the ball. There was not a single one-on-one period, not a single 11-on-11 of any kind. It was just drills. And for me, remembering the Lucas Patrick story, right? He flashed, and they're like, all right, we're going to sign this guy back. None of that. I'm curious for you, because you're old school and new school at once. Mike McCarthy didn't kill you guys when you did this, and Matt LaFleur didn't kill guys when he did this, but this felt to me like a mild overcorrection, or maybe major overcorrection, of not doing much of anything on Saturday. What say you?
Yeah, this is, hearing what they did is very odd. You would think you would have them go through in some way, shape, or form, some 11-on-11 work. Now, whether that is jog through pace, walk through pace.
And they did, in fairness, they did separately, they did walk through stuff. So they walked through their system and stuff like that. But that the one practice that was actually a practice, there was none of that at all.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you would think they would actually do some, even if it was, you know, jog through tempo, right? With a defense in front of them, like a jog through tempo. Like, everyone knows how to do that, right? Like, you mean, and that puts less stress on guys with assignments. It's and that's how you can teach, you know, like if a guy, you know, makes a mistake or this or that, it's easier to do that. But at the same time, it does stress guys out a little bit to, you know, communicate, get on the same page, make calls, make sure that they are assignment sound. And that was always the thing. I remember my rookie minicamp, that's what I was most nervous about, was being assignment sound. Mm-hmm. That was the one thing that, like, I was extremely nervous about, was making sure that I did not have any MAs or that I was doing the right thing at all times. And that's the point of rookie mini camp, or at least I thought it always was to introduce the playbook. You're not introducing everything, obviously. They only have them for a couple days. You know, basic installs, you know, day one, maybe day two, a couple of the basic things. See how they process that information, and then go out to the field and see how that, you know, see how they remember it, see how they, you know, do it and all that. And doesn't seem, and not just, you know, how they do it in, you know, a walkthrough, but how they're able to do it with a defense in front of them, and how they're able to, you know, remember it when kind, I don't want to say when it's live speed, because it's nowhere near that, you know, but when there's a little, when it's stressful, when it's a little bit stressful, right? Because the next time they do it, it's going to be with the veterans there. And the mm-hmm. one thing that happens, if you start blowing assignments with veterans, that's the one way to piss guys off, right? That's the one way to make a veteran start questioning, like, how do you not know what you're doing? Like, what have you been doing? Like, what are you paying attention in your rookie meetings? Or what would you do during rookie minicamp? What are you doing when you're in these extra meetings with the, with your position coaches after the OTA? Like, it makes, it gets veterans mad, and then it gets LaFleur mad. I know it gets LaFleur mad. He hates missed assignments. And then mm-hmm. it gets the offensive coordinator mad, because then it makes, it makes Steno look like he's not, the information's not getting across that he's putting through. And then it goes down to the position coaches, and then they're ticked off because it doesn't seem like they're teaching it properly. So, like, it just, you know, it makes it seem like this was a good weekend for these guys to make mistakes, right? This is the weekend to make the mistake so that it gets corrected in meetings, right? It's all on film. There's film of it. So to not have any of that is a little confusing. Like, I understand, like, you know, there's guys that have been prepping for 40s, like LaFleur said, and, you know, three cone. Like, so, like, I get it. But at the same time, like, come on. Like, you gotta be able to do some football work. Like, yeah, you gotta be able to do some football work. It's to the point where, you know, the combine stuff and the 40 work, that stuff's been done for a while now, right? Like, the pro day stuff has been done for a minute now. Like, that's gone and passed. Like, once you get done with that pro day, your mindset shifts to training for football. Like, it's gone and dusted, man. Like, I'm not running a 40 again. Don't care. Don't even want to think about it. I'm getting back to my normal routine of getting my body ready for football. So, like, it's kind of it's different. And then you hear guys were puking in a trash can. Like, I mean, that's a little iffy to me too. Like, I mean, I don't know what those guys were doing, or I don't.
Cheese curds.
That's weird to me.
Cheese curds. Two-way cheese curds the night before.
That's what it looked like. I'm sure that's what it looked like. But, like, there's one thing that I would never give satisfaction to a strength coach to, and that's throwing up. You never give them that satisfaction. No matter what you do, you do not give them that satisfaction that you puked for them. Like, never do it. Hold that in. Figure it out. Find a way. But you should – and listen, there's no way that this conditioning was that tough.
No, I don't remember – guys being pushed back in your day or in the early LaFleur era. Because the great thing about the rookie orientation or rookie minicamp was that, you know, the practice was on Saturday, so I didn't have to do the show. I could go and watch the whole thing. And I don't remember guys being pushed that hard. I remember parents of players being added a lot to all see their sons getting a chance to be out there and cool stuff like that. There was none of that either. But again, no one was definitely being pushed to the point of puking on Saturday. And while they did lots of walkthrough stuff in the crick They did not do anything competitive. And even I, who is soft as Charmin, would say that they probably could have done a little bit more. And I'll be curious, next time I talk to Matt LaFleur, I would be curious to ask him, hey, do you think you maybe overcorrected a little bit that you didn't do anything competitive at all? Like, we didn't even see, like, where do they think they want to line up Belton? Where do they want to line up John Williams on the offensive line? Like, those are the kinds of things that I was curious to see. And they did not take any reps as like an offensive line with a quarterback under center. And like I said, Matthew Golden, Savion Williams did not catch a single pass from anyone other than their position coaches. So it was definitely a different approach. All right, we're taking a different approach to trivia because now we have Vortex Golf on board, as you will have a chance to win a Vortex Golf rangefinder if you are the selected winner at the end of the week out of the Cheese Fry helmet. Jesse, what is today's category, and which caller would you like?
Today's category is actually the category you thought that I should have done yesterday with Vortex Golf coming on board with us. Today's trivia category, the Golf Vortex. About golf.
Better late than never. Caller, let's do caller 18. You play 18 holes. Caller 18, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. I have a golf question for Brian after trivia as well. I will ask him that. But for now, we will have our three questions that Jesse has written ready for you if you are caller 18 for Vortex Golf Trivia, 844-770-3776. We'll play next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
The Milwaukee Brewers, the Houston Astros.
Breaking ball hammer deep, right center field, way back, at the track, the ball, goodbye!
Tonight on 100.5 ESPN.
Trivia presented by Vortex Golf.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
Let's welcome in our contestant. It is John in Delafield. John, good morning. How are you today?
Good, and I am up to par. Ha ha.
Nicely. Well, you'll be hitting lots more birdies if you get these questions right and then win the rangefinder, so you're even more accurate on your approach shots. All right. Question number one in the Golf Vortex Trivia presented by Vortex Golf is this. A rare occurrence in which a golfer scores 3 strokes under par on a single hole is known by which of these names? Is it a dodo, an albatross, or a toucan, as in only a 2 can get you 3 under par? Clever.
It's an albatross.
Indeed it is. Brian, how many albatrosses do you have in your golf career?
Only one.
I mean, the fact that you have one is
yes,
good.
Only one. Yep, on a par 5?
It's got to be a par 5, right?
Yep, par 5. It was at actually number 10 at Green Bay Country Club.
And you hold out from what distance? Or did you just have a short putt because you had a 500-yard drive?
I'd put it on the green from 500.
No, I was probably 230 out, 240 out, hit an iron, couldn't see, blind shot. Must have rattled or rail off the pin or done something, but
wow.
It was in.
Wow, you're my hero.
You're so cool.
We're just lucky to have you as our cousin sub of the day.
Think how cool it would have been if you would have used one of these golf balls to hit that shot.
It would have exploded because those are like fake golf balls that you paid $8 for.
That's the albatross around Jesse's neck right now, is the wasted money on golf balls. All right, question two, John, is this. Chronologically, which of golf's four majors is traditionally played latest in the calendar year? Traditionally played latest in the calendar year. Is it PGA Championship, the U.S. Open, or the Open Championship, known by some as the British Open?
The Open Championship.
John, you're off to a very strong start. Well done. Question three, as you try to keep it going.
This last one may throw him off a little bit.
I actually know this because I happened to watch a little bit of The Last Dance the other night while I was looking for something to play on in the background while I was writing. In the 1996 movie Space Jam, Michael Jordan is transported to the land of the Looney Tunes while playing a round of golf with Larry Bird and which well-known actor? Was Michael Jordan playing golf with Larry Bird and Adam Sandler, Bill Murray, or Will Smith?
I'll say Will Smith.
I'm afraid not. Would you like to try again?
It was Will Smith. It was Larry. Who was it? Help.
Adam Sandler or Bill Murray?
I'll say Bill Murray.
You did not, Tauscher. Well done. It is Bill Murray in Space Jam. All right, John, you got two out of three. You still got three of the possible four entries into the drawing. I wouldn't say this was a birdie performance. I would say it was on par. Thanks for playing.
Well, I'm not teed off. Thanks.
We're going to keep these golf lines coming. All right. He has entered. John has entered into the drawing at the end of the week for the Vortex Golf Rangefinder. Brian, I have a question for you. I was deputized yesterday by my buddy Coach Penza to help out with middle school golf. So I am now an assistant golf coach.
I did
play high school golf. I know a thing or two about it. As I've said many times, I did not play other than once or twice in Tausch's charity event back when he was still playing football. I basically played a couple times a month in college at University Ridge. Then I stopped playing. Then the girls came along. I don't want to miss time with them on a weekend to go golfing for 4 or 5 hours. So I have not played a lot. Now I'm working on, you know, getting some clubs and playing again now that the girls both play and I want to play with them. But I was trying to help 7th and 8th graders. And I'm curious because you are a good golfer. I know there's some debate about your handicap. Not as much as Tausch's, because Tausch is a big sandbagger. But you're a good golfer. What would be a couple of pieces of advice that you would recommend I make sure that I reinforce with the kids that I'm helping coach? Because here's my big one. You can't hit what you can't see. Got to keep your head still. Keep your eye on the ball. Remember, some of these kids have never played golf at all. It's their first time even picking up a club. So it's very rudimentary. Mm-hmm. So I'm keeping it simple. But I also want to make sure that I'm giving them good advice. So give me a couple of Brian Bulaga's golf tips that I can share with the junior Jaguars.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good one. I mean, I think basic principles like stance and alignment, where are you aiming, right? Like that's mm-hmm. like the biggest thing. Like I catch myself in it all the time. Like I'm trying to hit a draw, but my body's aimed to the left. And I'm like, obviously I'm hitting a draw, but I'm aimed way left and I'm hitting a draw while aiming left. Like, why would I do that? Like, that's really dumb. I'm not aiming properly. So like, that's one thing that, mm-hmm. I would really, you know, get, you know, help them out with is every time you approach the ball, like, you know, really dial into, you know, a landmark in front of you to help you aim. Aim at that landmark, which is in line with your target, which mm-hmm. should help you align your body up correct, which should, you know, help you aim. At least that, for me, that's what I try to do when I'm taking it as serious as I can. So now, when I'm playing as much as I can, which isn't current. The next thing would be, you know, everyone wants to drive the ball long. Everyone wants to be able to flush irons and do all that great. But, like, none of us are that good, right? If some of us were that good, we would be on TV. That's just the nature of it. None of us are on TV doing that. And let's be real. Where most of us make up strokes or where we have to save it is chipping and putting. Mm-hmm. So, like, that would be the next thing is, like, help them get good at those two basic fundamentals, like just chipping around the green and then putting. Like, help them two putt, like save three puttings, right? Like get rid of three putts, two putts, lag putting, getting it close to the hole so they have easy tap-ins, mm-hmm. and then chipping around the green. Like, because that's where, let's be real, that's where I'm at a lot of the time. That's where a lot of golfers are, is off the green on their approach shot. They have to try to get up and down to save par. You have to get good at chipping. And that's the nature of this game for bad golfers.
So I feel good then because the driving range was closed. It'll be open next week. So we were just working on our short approach shots. And what I did was I took the big giant buckets that had held all the balls. I put them out, I don't know, maybe 35, 40 yards out in front of them. And had them work on, all right, that's where we're trying to get. And they all worked on their chipping and their short game. And then I upped the stakes by saying, if anybody gets one in the bucket, I will get ice cream for everybody next week. Because there's no better motivation than that.
Yeah.
And then one of them, might have been the one that's related to me, put the ball in the bucket. So now I got to go get ice cream for next Monday.
Oh,
so it was really fun. I don't have the knowledge that Kevin does or that other really good golf coaches that are we're lucky to have in our program. But it was fun to help out. I love coaching, and that's one of my favorite things I get to do. So
I just want to make sure we're on the same page. Are we telling Tausch about this when he comes back, or do we want this to be kind of our little secret here?
Do we know if Tausch is coming back right now?
I mean, rumor has it delays in Newark may have impacted Vegas, so I don't know what the status of tomorrow's show is looking like.
But I would say that I am the epitome of those who can do, those who can't teach. I believe I am proving that very clearly with my expert coaching.
Assistant golf coach.
Well,
Middle school dance to plan still?
I do, yes. And Jeffrey from Celebrations Entertainment has helped me with that. I may not be good at anything, but I'm well connected. And now I've got a couple of tips from Brian Balaga to share with the kids next week. We have the 11 o'clock hour to share with you, our loyal listeners, to Wildy and Tausch with Brian Balaga as our cousin sub of the day. It starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.